good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. Happy first day of May. You can always join the show. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Very, very busy show coming up today. Of course, Dr. Laura Hanks will be here at 11:33 with public cervix announcements. If you ever have any questions for the doctor, you can text them in or send an email to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. That is coming up again. Public cervix announcement at 11:33, so stay tuned for that. I had to switch things up a little bit. There's breaking news this morning, so we are joined by Civic Media producer Sam Davison is joining us from our studio at the headquarters in downtown Madison. Good morning, Sam. Thanks for joining us so last minute. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
You were at the UW campus this morning as police were removing tents, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I produce the John and Gordy show, and on Wednesdays we go out to breakfast after the show, and we got the news that they were taking down the tents just a couple blocks away. So I sprinted down after I had had breakfast and was watching as, well, when I got there initially, nothing was happening. All of the police were kind of lined up. And then after 10 or 15 minutes, they started getting into formations and taking down the remaining tents there.
Was there a big student presence? Were there hundreds of tents set up?
There were not. Well, when I got there, there were only a few tents remaining. I talked to one person, and he had said that when he walked by last night, that half of this square, it's at Memorial Library.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the mall down there, was half filled with tents on one side. It was pretty packed full, he had said. When I got there, there were only two tents remaining this morning, and they took down one, took it away, the police did, and the one tent, either protesters took down or police took down, but was left there, and they were putting it back up once police had left after arresting a few people.
They're going right back to it.
Exactly. Yeah, there were a lot of people there. They kind of started to dissipate probably 20 minutes or so after police had left, after taking down that one tent, but definitely probably hundreds of people, yeah.
And we got reports that 12, was it 12 were arrested?
Yes. I haven't verified that, but I heard from Channel 3 that they heard.
That's what the Journal Sentinel is. Yeah, that's what the Journal Sentinel is reporting also, that so far there have been 12 people arrested. This is something that's happening at college campuses all over the country.
Yeah, and it's still unfolding right now in Madison. So.
And in Milwaukee, too, at UWM.
Yeah.
So did you talk to any students? Sam Davison is our guest. He's a producer for the John and Gordy Show for Civic Media. Did you talk to anybody who was down there at the Library Mall in Madison?
I didn't talk directly with anyone. I recognized a few people there because I went to UW just last year. I graduated. And I saw a couple of people that I knew there, and they were, one of them was taking press photos for a student newspaper. Another one was in like the main circle who was like linking arms around this last remaining tent, fending off police. They were trying to get to it. And I don't know how long they had been there, but this encampment just went up beginning or end of last week, something like that. It's only been there a few days. It hasn't been there quite as long as it has been on other campuses.
You were down there. I lost my train of thought there. I was just listening to the whole thing.
All good.
No worries. Yeah. So you were down there, and there wasn't any sort of, the police were just there being present. There wasn't any violence that you saw, or was it just like resistance and the police making their way to try to remove the tents?
There wasn't like people being beaten or anything like that, but the cops did have riot shields. They weren't in full riot gear, but they had shields. And when they broke their way into the crowd, they got into like a special formation with their shields so they could get into these people crowding around the tents and trying to protect them in order to basically tear them out of the people's hands and throw them away.
Well, Governor Evers yesterday, I believe, did make a statement, and he said, you know, peaceful protest is fine, but you can't camp there.
Yeah.
This is a rule in college campuses all across the country. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Chancellor Mnuchin of UW. I heard Todd Alba yesterday, we were just chatting, said she was kind of doing what he thought was the right thing, just kind of letting them be and not bringing in cops yet. I guess that changed. I don't know what prompted the change or if it was even her decision. But I do know that for the entirety of the time that protesters have been there, it's been against rules or the law to set up like an actual encampment
there. Right. Well, we will keep our eyes on this. Thank you for being our eyes on the ground there in Madison. Sam Davison, civic media producer for the John and Gordy Show. Really appreciate your time this morning, Sam. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
As we mentioned, this is kind of happening at campuses all over the country. The one thing, at least from what I've been able to see here, what's happening in Wisconsin, is some of the rhetoric on other campuses is really awful.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Okay.
I've seen Israeli protesters screaming things at Palestinian protesters that were horrific. I've seen Palestinian protesters screaming horrific things at Jewish students. It's the level of hatred is just, it's terrifying.
I mean, yeah, it's the, that it, to me, that's the ultimate frustration is that when we, you know, we've discussed this before, how we've kind of stayed away from this topic because neither one of us are foreign policy experts. We're not international law or, you know, any of those types of experts.
Right.
But I feel like we all agree that when it's all settled, I shouldn't say we all agree. For me, I want the people of Palestine to have their own land. I want them to have their own home. I want them to feel safe and free. It's the same reason why I support giving money to Ukraine. I want the people of Israel to be safe and free. I don't want them, and this is my opinion, to have their business conducted by a government that doesn't have, I believe, the best interest of the people in mind and is using this to scare up fear from our leaders who generally march lockstep. So when I see people who are regular citizens, especially in this country, screaming things like that back and forth at each other, that's what breaks my heart, because then I feel like the message is getting lost, that every Palestinian friend I know wants to be free, wants their family to be free, wants Israelis to be free. Every single one of my Jewish friends wants the same thing. So this screaming at each other, these horrible things, it's losing the message and then making it easier to politicize the overall action itself.
And make it counterproductive. Extremely absolutely counterproductive. I know in one of the reports that I saw yesterday, and I believe that this was at Columbia, out of the 86 people that were arrested yesterday, 44 of them were not students.
Yeah.
So there's always the opportunity for these outside agitators to come in who may very well have agendas of their own.
Yeah. And let's also not forget that we live in very retaliatory times. Public leaders, public officials, elected officials, they see these kinds of protests and they say, look at these liberal schools. Look at these schools. We can't give them money. We can't. They're indoctrinating our children. And so if people who don't even represent the student body are there doing these sorts of things and trying to push these messages, that is going to hurt the overall school as a whole. It's going to hurt the students. It's not to say it's not good is such an understatement.
Seriously.
But it's awful to see, because I want the message, which I feel like a lot of people are clear on, to come out, which is we just want people to be free and safe. And let's not as government officials use them as a reason to get their way, which is what they're doing.
Well, I think again, and we've talked frequently about the attacks on public education and certainly higher learning.
Yes.
And for those who had been screaming about conservative voices aren't allowed on college campuses and there's no free speech. Yeah. You know, we need free speech on our campuses. And then this happens. It's like, no, it's free speech. You can't have free speech. That's bad.
Yeah.
And I just think when unrest like this happens for those who have education and higher education in their sights, this just helps feed them on why we don't need colleges. Kids shouldn't be going to college. They're learning the wrong things.
Or the very privileged can go to college.
Yeah.
There should only be five colleges. and it will cost $50,000 a year, if not more. And if you can afford it, great. If not, well, have fun at your four jobs.
855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you would like to join the show on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Tom from L.A. is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thank you for joining us. We got a couple of minutes left. Tom, what did you want to say?
Good morning, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, I guess what I don't understand is, like you're saying, Jane, there's instigators, and I believe that, agitators that are getting into this whole thing.
Yep.
And when I saw some things on there, I saw similar things to, you know, January 6th, USA, USA. You know, it's kind of the same people, I think, that are going to these protests. Because in my belief that a college campus, what they should be doing is the president of the university or whoever it is should be saying, okay, we hear you. We hear what it is you're saying. Your protest has definitely been heard. Now what we'd like to do is take 10 people from one side, 10 people from the other side, and let's get a big auditorium and let's actually debate this issue so we can actually teach our young people that it's not just about protesting and violence, but it's actually about finding an end game. It's about finding a solution. I mean, that's honestly what Congress is supposed to be about, is that it's about finding a solution through peaceful methods and using intelligence to be able to give your side of the argument. And then that lowers the temperature of all of this anarchy.
It would be. Thank you so much, Tom. Really appreciate it. And I think you make a great point as far as this being an opportunity to establish some dialogue.
I don't disagree. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I feel like a university president, though, they would have so many donors and outside forces saying, if you do this,
yeah,
that's the problem.
There's that, too.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. If you would like to join the discussion, you're listening to Matt Nair on air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to ruin, we started off the show this morning with some breaking news. In Madison, UW police removed a tent encampment that had been set up. These protests are happening all over the country, mm-hmm. with students protesting what's happening to the Palestinian people,
yeah.
in the ongoing conflict between Israel and Hamas. And we're just taking your calls and seeing how you feel about this. We got a text when we were talking about this, and I point out this a lot. I really do think that there is a gun aimed at education, and it's certainly public education and higher education in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And when things like this happen, for those who would like to dismantle our educational system, this just gives them more ammunition to say, see, this is what happens when
exactly.
you let kids learn and you go to college, and yep. this is what happens. A texter listening here on WAUK, a liberal says going to college provides an expanded worldview. A MAGA supporter hears indoctrination. And sadly, I don't think there's a misunderstanding in that. Andrew from Waukesha has been very patient. Thank you for waiting, Andrew. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. So as somebody who does believe we need to reform the university system, not dismantle it, that's your word, I find it very irritating when you make an equivalence between something like Republicans complaining that 95% of all the professors are liberals, that most of the administrators are all liberals. That complaint you compare to an occupation of public property and setting up tent cities. Those two things are not equivalent.
Andrew, hold on. We never said any of those words. We didn't make the comparison. I don't know what radio show you're listening to right now, but we made a very real statement that the Republicans have public education in their sight as they are constantly defunding it, putting it up for the people's vote, and not giving it the proper money it needs. But we didn't say anything about 95% of teachers are liberals. That's not something we ever said.
And where,
I don't think I've ever said that in my life.
And where did you get that statistic from, Andrew?
Every public poll that I've seen for the last 20 years shows very clearly that a majority of professors and administrators at universities, public universities in particular.
Can you send me those polls, Andrew?
Contribute. Sure. Yeah, it's publicly available information because when you donate to a political campaign, you have to identify your profession.
Unless you're a corporation.
And so when they just break down the numbers, okay, well then you want to have that side tangent?
Well, if you're making things up, I'm going to come at you with the details that you want. So this thing is, you bringing up 95% in polling data that you've seen. This seems like a very large number.
Representation of ideologies on the campus between the professors and the administrators, just as many conservatives as liberals.
I'm sorry, Andrew, now you lost me. So you're saying that there are just as many conservative professors as there are liberal professors, or it's they're all liberal professors?
So the reason why conservatives like myself want to reform public education, and in particular universities, is because there is not an even distribution of ideological viewpoints.
So how do you propose doing that?
Dominating. Well, as people that agree with DEI, why don't you make some slots for conservatives? Okay. Or if you want a free market, just have people who don't have to serve under the tenure of the administrators. Give the professors more leeway. I mean, there was the case in Marquette where you had the conservative professor. He was fired. He ended up winning that case. And it was basically because the administrators, as you said, were getting a bunch of pushback for the things that he had said, and they fired him. But you can't do that.
Andrew, I don't disagree with what you're saying as far as letting teachers teach, but you are woefully ignoring the fact that so many teachers who just want to teach simple history throughout this country are getting their lessons rewritten by special interest groups because they want to talk about things like the Civil War and what went on during the Civil War. And they're being told, no, you can't do that. And we're facing book bannings and book burnings. So if you want equality and equity, and that E in DEI means equity, then you have to accept the teachings that all teachers want to give. And also, if you are comparing a conservative to people who have to qualify for DEI as far as women, people of color, the queer community, I think that is a very, very far reach. If universities want to hire conservatives, I don't think it should be based on your conservatism or your liberalism, but that's for the university to decide. And also, if kids want to get a conservative education, there are plenty of conservative universities out there.
Well, that was kind of my thought too, Andrew, and I understand we're talking about public universities, but if, as a parent, you are very concerned with the viewpoints that they're receiving from the staff, then that gives you an opportunity to research that a little bit more and find a university that you believe their professors are going to align more with your political beliefs. Isn't that the free market system too? Although, again, then we're probably looking at private institutions as opposed to public institutions.
Correct.
And thank you for listening, Andrew, and thank you for calling. We really appreciate it. We got to talk about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We do. We have to talk about things, yeah. Hard things. Texter from from WLAK in Amory, when interviewing to become a professor at a university, are they asked whether they are Democrats or Republicans? Actually, I think that's happening in Florida now. Seems to me Republicans have the same chance of being hired, so maybe more of them should become professors.
I mean, that's ultimately, I don't think they're allowed to ask that question.
I wouldn't. That seems like, no.
Unless, if it's a public university. If it's a private university, they might be like, teach a conservative value.
Absolutely.
There you go. I mean, I don't know what that, the quote unquote fix is to, you know, make it equal that there are 50% conservatives, 50% liberals on college campuses. I don't think that's, I don't know. I know I got friends and family who are working on college campuses or professors or work in the classes. And while they might be liberal, they just do the work. Their job is to teach.
Calvin, did you want to jump in on this?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how we solve this from a representation standpoint, but I've seen studies and research that as your education increases, your likelihood to support liberal policies also increases. So it's a chicken and the egg type of thing. Are colleges hiring liberals because they like liberals, or are educated people just happening to be liberals?
And also it asks the big question, what is the big thing? We've talked about this before, being threatened. Parents might be threatened by their kids going to school and thinking for themselves and challenging their own beliefs. Yes. And honestly, that can be from either side of the aisle.
Yes, without a doubt. We have news on the way next. I don't know that we're going to be able to continue this when we return. We talked about this yesterday a little bit. The Time magazine article about what a second Trump administration would mean. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday with Pat Kreutlow. There's so much in this article. We're going to break that down when we return. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, and we're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. You know that I'm falling and I don't know what to say. Well, come along, baby. We better make a start. You better make it soon before you break my heart. Ooh. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful, sunny downtown Waukesha. Join us. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We started off with some breaking news, so we had to push things around a little bit. I do want to remind everyone, the Bucks are still alive.
Whoa, why is that?
Because Calvin was at the game last night. Essentially.
Yep.
Well done, Calvin. What exactly did you do that ensured that even though they were down three guys, they still came out on top?
I just did magic. I don't know. It was a great game, though.
Was it?
Yes. The Pacers weren't shooting well, so we'll take every advantage we can get. Chris Middleton played great as always. Some of the bench players stepped up. It was a really good game.
How are you feeling about the next one, then? Because they're going to be in Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling maybe a little bit better than I was about this past game. But if we can get to game seven, then I'm confident that we'll win a game seven.
And do they know whether or not Giannis will be there for game six now? Or is he still feeling, is he not on board? Because they originally, it was just supposed to be like, oh, game one, maybe game two. Now we're getting to game six. And, you know, I don't know much about basketball, but this seems important.
Yeah. I agree. I think it is important. So I think it's more serious than they're letting on. My friend who's a physical therapist thinks he, based on what he heard from the injury, will miss 6 weeks total.
Yowch.
And he's only missed three so far.
Oh boy.
So he might not be back for a while.
Oofers.
That will not be good. Well, you can catch all the action tomorrow night. The Bucks at the Pacers. Game starts at 5 p.m. You can listen to the game on locally grown radio WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. That's 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Or also listen on 98Q Country, WCQM in Park Falls, 98.3 on your FM dial.
All right. That was on your FM dial.
Was that kind of musical?
That was like, hey, everybody, Jim Matt and Air on your FM dial.
7 to midnight. Yes, let's rock out. Okay. Maggie Dawn is going to be joining us, the incomparable Maggie Dawn, coming up at 10:50. She is going to be covering, guess who's coming to Waukesha today?
My mom.
No, it is not your mother.
My dog.
Also not correct.
Dang it.
Donald Trump is making a campaign stop
worse
here in Waukesha. So Maggie Dawn, he's going to be here during Maggie's show. So She is going to be having some special coverage about that. And I do want to point out, you know, he's been in court quite a bit in New York.
He's been sleeping in court.
That too. At least he's getting well rested.
Yeah, how come he gets to get, he's like under indictment and he sleeps?
He's napping.
My life is fine and I can't sleep.
But he's been complaining about how the requirement that he be in court is keeping him off the campaign trail. He does have days that court is not in session, including today.
Yeah.
And a reporter pointed out on yesterday, I believe, because Trump was again complaining how I can't be so unfair. I can't campaign. He was off from Friday to Sunday and he went golfing.
And I feel like somebody's, oh, it was Jesse Waters. He needs to be out there with the exercise.
Oh, yes, Jesse Waters.
He needs to get the exercise.
From Faux News.
He needs to be golfing to get the exercise. He's an old man.
He needs to move around,
Greg. He needs to move around. He needs to shake it, shake it.
So there is quite a big article, which I highly encourage everyone to read, an article in Time magazine yesterday with an interview with the former president about what his second term would look like. And we did talk about it a little bit yesterday, but there is so much here. I think it's really worth delving into a little bit more deeply, especially in advance of the former president's visit to Waukesha today.
Yeah.
These are his own words. This is a reporter interviewing Donald Trump. He did two interviews with him at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. More than 20 states now have full or partial abortion bans. Donald Trump says those policies should be left to the states to do what they want, including monitoring women's pregnancies. Quote, I think they might do that, unquote. When asked if he's comfortable with states prosecuting women for having abortions beyond the point the law permits, Donald Trump says, quote, it's irrelevant whether I'm comfortable or not. It's totally irrelevant because the states are going to make those decisions, unquote. Now, my problem, not up to me.
Yeah.
I won't think about it again. It's up to the states.
Yeah.
And he's already said, and Donald Trump has already said, that these bans are working beautifully. The bans in Arizona and Idaho, where they're airlifting women out of Idaho to get the care they need so they don't die.
I don't know if you know this, but the polls out there are saying all of the bans are working beautifully. All the polls I'm reading, just absolutely, without a doubt. You know, one of the things that I don't like about the criticisms of Joe Biden is, like, he's not a strong leader. He doesn't make the tough decisions. First of all, that's wrong. But also, you have a man who wants the job of the president, who sits back with a straight face and says, it doesn't matter what I think. Yes, it does.
You're the president of the free world.
Even if you can't create the policy based out of your office, you still need to take a stand. And if that stand is national abortion ban or whatever, the most draconian, that's not the point. The point is you need to make a stand, because you can't just wait for the people to go yay or boo and then say, well, I like it or I don't like it, because that's not what people see in a leader, and you're making yourself less and less attractive by the moment doing that.
Well, and for the women who have already experienced tragedies because of these bans, what a cold. I don't care about you.
I mean,
essentially, it doesn't matter to me what happened to you. Amanda Zarowski in Texas almost died because she was miscarrying. And they could not give her the services they need because of the bans in Texas. Ultimately, she had to leave the state. She got the treatment. Now she's infertile.
Yeah.
Now she can't have children. And this was a wanted pregnancy. And she's infertile because she could not have access to the care that she needed. And that's totally irrelevant, apparently.
And that brings me actually to, I want to remind people of something that came in yesterday, a text message from a very lovely listener who admitted that they didn't have a lot of knowledge about the abortion process, the vast amount of things that go into it. They thought abortion was used as a birth control method for the most part. Now they know more, and that's what we hope to tell you all, because honestly, I've learned so much about the amount of pregnancies that have experienced what's called spontaneous abortion,
which also is a miscarriage.
How many of those, and how many abortions have to be performed on women who do want the pregnancy, and all of the problems before, during, and after, even a pregnancy that goes smoothly, quote unquote.
Right.
So that's like, that's where it's like, you know, he doesn't care because he doesn't know. He just thinks an abortion is an abortion. That's bad. Pregnancy, good. Kids, good. You know, it would be weirder if he actually came out with a really nuanced statement saying, I understand the plight of women.
Yeah, nuance isn't something I would look to Donald Trump for. Also, in this Time Magazine article that came out yesterday, Donald Trump says, at his personal discretion, he would withhold funds from Congress. So Congress is the one who appropriates money, right?
Yeah.
It isn't him.
Yeah.
And now he says, at his personal discretion, if he doesn't like it, he's going to tell Congress, no, you can't spend that. I don't like it.
I mean, but that's when Congress will turn around going, that's great. We're going to, we get to spend the money.
But they're already working the whole Project 2025 that we're going to be talking about a great deal more as we get closer to the election. The whole idea behind Project 2025 is to give the office of the presidency more power.
Absolutely. But congressmen are squirrely.
Well, and they like what they got, right? It's my stuff. Don't touch my stuff.
And when you have people like, and we're going to talk about them because I think they're important to remember, Jim Lankford.
From Oklahoma.
Chip Roy from Texas. And Mike Johnson, our Speaker of the House. I'm not saying they're not right of center or east center or anything like that. They are conservatives.
Yes.
But they are voting to make big choices against the MAGA party line. And I feel like as long as you have a few of those people in Congress, I hope they will step up if they can stay in office.
Well, that's just it. We're losing them awfully quickly. The ones who like you said, seem to be moderate-ish.
Yeah.
Bill from Oconomowoc has been waiting. Good morning, Bill. Thank you for your patience. What did you want to say?
On the abortion issue, it won't be long before some sharp attorneys file a class action suit. Now, they can't technically sue the politician itself, but they can do a Nick Maggie Dawn to make the clear correction on it. To a civil court, they can go after these people. And when they do, they're going to set a precedent. Already, Hunter Biden is going after Fox for lying about Hunter Biden. This is going to become more common in the culture we're in. Because, you know, I know, the government can't tell a woman what to do with her body. They just can't. Yeah, they think they can. Well, if you're going to, then you're responsible for what they call negligent homicide, which reads, if you do something that promotes a fatality, you're guilty. Now, I'm not quoting it right. You need Maggie to get it.
To clarify it, sure, Bill.
Out of the T's cross. Right, but I'm just saying, that's negligent homicide, folks. You're killing people. Your NRA, the Second Reich, they're killing children.
Thank you, Bill. Always appreciate your input.
I think that while I, once again, I feel like the Debbie Downer here. While I agree with what you're saying, Bill, I think what they will do is they will find their ways of wiggling out of the responsibility. They'll change the law to shirk the responsibility.
Yes.
They will make it so that only, and they'll make it so that only the woman, not even the father.
The rapist.
Or just even.
Or
like,
the uncle.
Or whomever. And it'll be the doctor and the mother. Those will be the only people who will be held accountable.
And this has been my gripe from the very beginning. Where is the sperm donor in all of this? Where are the ramifications and the legal punishments for the man involved in this pregnancy? There hasn't been anything.
No.
Zippo.
No.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
Because there never has been and there never will be. And kind of off, it's on the topic, but don't worry, those who are in power, those who have money, will have plenty of access. They could have a national abortion ban tomorrow. All these individuals over a certain dollar amount will have all the access they want, and nothing will be said. Look at all of the pro-life congressmen out there who have paid for abortions in the past, and then scot-free, yep. Walk away.
Yep.
No.
Still in office. Still in office. One more thing I want to hit just about this Time Magazine article that we will include in the show notes from today as well, and I highly recommend that you read it. What a second Trump turn would mean. Donald Trump is weighing pardons for every single one of his supporters involved in the January 6th attack at the Capitol. More than 800 have pleaded guilty or been convicted by a jury. These are the people he calls hostages and patriots. And at his rallies, he plays their special national anthem.
Ugh.
The people who attacked our Capitol Police with flagpoles and bear spray and bats. They're patriots and heroes, and he's going to pardon them.
And if you thought they were hostages, if you think they're hostages now, what did you think they were 2 years ago? You thought they were Antifa. You thought that they were the crooked FBI. You thought every single one of them was Hunter Biden's laptop. But you've changed your mind because that guy said you did. You could. So make up your mind. Are they patriots or are they really what they are, which is traitors?
And I think some were genuinely misled.
Oh, yeah.
I do. I think they were. I think there are many who were genuinely misled.
You do the crime,
you do the time.
Exactly.
All right. Stay with us when we return. She is like no one else. The incomparable Maggie Dawn joining us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Baby says she's mine. You know she tells me all the time. You know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. I'm so glad that she's my little girl. She's so glad she's telling all the world that her baby buys her things, you know. He buys her diamond rings, you know. She said so. She's in love with me and I feel fine.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break.
I'm a hot. Good morning. Welcome, welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-75-CIVIC. That is 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Just a reminder, we haven't done this in a while, Greg Bach, to download the Civic Media app.
How much is that little dog in the window, and how much is the Civic Media app?
It should be very, very expensive.
It should be like $3,000.
But it is free.
This is how do we run a business?
The Civic Media app is absolutely free, and you can call and text directly into whatever show you're listening to. Mm-hmm. It gives you the option to listen to our shows all over the state, because we have 20 different stations. So if you want to listen to Chad Holmes, you can do that. You can listen to the Busted Pencils guys, anything you want.
Yeah. I will say there's been some confusion, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, who's behind me?
Maggie Dawn is here.
Maggie Dawn is here. You cannot, though, listen to sports on our radio, on the app.
Correct.
You can listen to them on the stations, but not
yes,
the app.
You can't listen. We can't stream because of their legalities.
Laws.
Yeah, there are laws. So they're called laws.
I don't like laws.
The one and only Maggie Dawn is here. We are so excited to have her with us. Good morning, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm good. Sorry about being a wee bit late. I was just hammering out research in the office.
We had been texting last night to set this up, and you're very busy. We're all very busy.
Yes, indeed.
So I'm really glad you could join us at the last minute because
of course.
Donald Trump coming to Waukesha this afternoon.
Former MAGA president. I was busily reading and printing out the Time Magazine article.
Is that not? We were just talking about that. It is mind-blowing.
Well, Jane, I do think, and Greg, I do think on your very show about a week ago, we talked about the Heritage Foundation's project.
Their blueprint.
Mm-hmm. He basically just told the Time reporter, yes, that's the plan.
Yep.
Project 2025, how to turn a democracy into an autocracy.
In three easy steps.
In 1 4-year term.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
Just some simple ingredients.
Just like that.
Yeah.
And the great thing about the timepiece, this is the whole thing, multiple pages, okay? They also include, and bravo to Time for doing this, a fact check of every assertion that he makes. Because, and I'm going to have Terry Bell, our news director for Civic Media, on my show on Friday. We do a little segment called Media on the Media. And one of the things that I want to talk to Terry about, because he's been a newsman his entire career, is all I do is give people my opinions. How do you possibly approach covering someone who uses, if we're being mild, exaggeration and hyperbole every time they speak?
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
How do you cover that? So I was very impressed with the coverage from Time. The reporter's name is Eric Cortellesa,
yep.
With assistance from Leslie Dickstein, Simone Shaw, and Julia Zorthian. And then they included the fact check. So they are covering the sort of atmospherics, the tone, the vibe of what this guy's talking about. But then they actually give you the breakdown of the factual assertions that he made, which I just thought was incredibly well done.
Oh, it is. We put this in our show notes yesterday. We're going to put it in the show notes again today. Yes. Just like, I think Project 2025 is way too much for everybody to read, isn't it? Like,
what, 893 pages?
It's only 900 pages. That's just an easy, you know, afternoon.
I'll send you the link for the Times reporter that did the summary of Project 2025, so you can include that in your show notes.
Okay.
That is basically what I used, and then used that to go into the Project 2025 and fact check effectively what the reporter was saying.
Yep.
Project 2025 said.
But I think that this Time article essentially boils down in pretty understandable ways the whole goal of Project 2025, the blueprint for conservative leadership that we've talked about.
Yes.
And again, it is essentially allowing the executive office to accrue more power so they can pretty much do what they want.
Correct.
It's
eliminating all federal civil service where the president can do so unilaterally. It includes basically vetting scientists in all level of the executive branch, from the EPA through the FDA, all of it.
And
basically vetting them for being on brand for Trump and Republican messaging.
Right. And as we talked about before, they are going to give them the scientific outcome that they want.
Yes.
And then tell the scientists to do an experiment that will lead to these results that we want. That seems bad.
Yeah. Probably not how science is supposed to work.
I don't think
so. I've looked up science and that's not how it works.
No.
Yeah.
Really? That's on Wikipedia, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Science. It just says science. This doesn't work.
Yeah, no. As an economist and having been a data wonk for many years, one of the reasons that I wanted to complete my graduate work in econometrics was because it started to become very clear to me that models and data could be manipulated to produce certain outcomes.
Right.
And I wanted to be able to, frankly, have an intuition and be able to look at research and this doesn't quite square up with what I learned. This doesn't look objective. And indeed, you can game research to produce a wanted outcome.
Absolutely. So what kind of coverage are you going to be doing this afternoon when the former president visits Waukesha? Your show starts at 2:00.
Yes, lots. I'm really excited about it. I'm going to have former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh on. He also ran against Donald Trump in 2020. Mr. Walsh has had an incredibly interesting political evolution over the course of his life.
He has.
He began, I would say, on sort of left of center, became a Tea Party / libertarian, and now has denounced Donald Trump and left the Republican Party. So he'll be on, and then we're going to have Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez as well this afternoon. So wall-to-wall coverage, you won't want to miss it.
Make sure you join Maggie Dawn 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. There are a few people who are more accomplished than you are. And you're also a really nice human being. So Maggie Dawn, thank you so very much for joining us. News is next. And when we return, three headlines and a lie. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.